We were talking last week about the sacrifice of Isaac. Anybody know about who Isaac married? Anybody know Isaac's wife's name? Rebecca, all right. Where on earth did Abraham find a wife for Isaac? All right, you understand that? He sent out his servant, his hired servant, and says, "Now go find the wife for my son." Now, we run to a similar thing when we get down to Isaac's son Jacob. Whenever Jacob goes back to the homeland to find somebody over there to marry over there, but we're right in this period of the three patriarchs. Their names are what? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, you've got that. All right, and you do know, do you, who built the ark? And that was Noah. And that's a little pew packers class. How many doors in the ark?
One.
How many windows in the ark?
One.
Is Josiah here? Josiah, are you here? Josiah, I want you to tell me in Spanish. I want you to tell me in Spanish how many doors in the ark. In
Uno.
Spanish. What? Say it again.
Uno.
Uno. All right. Just in case you didn't know, he's headed for Paraguay, and he already knows more Spanish than his dad. Going to a Spanish. Josiah, what is your dad's IQ?
Uno.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. And so here we've got him going to Paraguay, and I had a little prompting on that. I don't know if you heard me or not, but Josiah, just to learn the language, is going to a bilingual kindergarten, and it's really, thank you, Kara and Josiah, for getting these, and Vivian too. Vivian knows what's the best book in the world, Vivian? The best book in the world's what? Starts with a by. Bible. Can you say it in Spanish? Huh? You can't.
They don't teach that.
Oh, don't teach that in kindergarten. All right. Separation of Biblia and state. Anyway, all right. Okay. All right. We're trying to learn this, and I'm going to assume that you're trying to read through the Bible and you're getting some of this. We talked last week about Abraham offering Isaac, or in a recent study, and as they go up to the mountain ready to offer Isaac, Isaac said, "Dad, there's a problem here. We've got what? We've got wood. We've got fire, but we're missing something.
Sacrifice.
In your mind, where do they have the fire? I don't know. You got to figure it out. But how many days' journey had they taken? It's a 3 days' journey. They've been for 3 days carrying some fire, and I don't know where he had the fire. I just know that Isaac said, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, what? The Lord will provide for himself the sacrifice. And that's what he did. And you stop and look, whenever he's ready to sacrifice Isaac and to kill Isaac, there is a ram that's over there in the thicket. Ever wonder how the ram got there? How did God put it there? Yes, okay. See, if I were God, Allie, I would, I've forgotten this. And so I would just have to zap and put a ram over there, okay? And I don't know if when I was in Sunday school if that's the way I thought it happened or not, you know. But God's providence is so great that God can make all of these things happen. Abraham named that place. You know the name in Hebrew for the word Lord is what? Jehovah, and he named that place Jehovah. Jehovah will provide. All right, man, you are so fluent in Hebrew, Novell. Jehovah will provide. Jehovah Jireh, and we need to have some Jehovah Jirehs in our life, guys. There needs to be times in our life when we look back and say, how could this have happened? Saved by the grace of God, Jehovah Jireh. Now then, Isaac marries Rebekah. They have two sons. The sons are Jacob and Esau. Who's the older?
Esau.
Now, generally, in Judaism, and this is really before Judaism, before the Jews become a nation, but generally, who gets the inheritance? What is a birthright? It's the right of birth, right? And what's that? Well, when the law comes along, and that is the firstborn child gets a double portion. And so if you had four kids and you died, you divide it five ways, and the firstborn would get two 2/5, and the rest of them would get 1/5 each. And so here, Isaac has these two boys. Their names are Jacob and Esau. And we were talking last week about the meaning of names, and the names of both of those individuals have biblical significance, by the way. Both Esau and Jacob both have biblical significance. So these boys grow up, but there is that day when Esau makes a tragic mistake in relationship. Either was it to his blessing or his birthright? Which one was first? It was the birthright. He came in and he was hungry. And there Isaac is eating a bowl of lentils, some sort of beans of some kind. And so he's eating this, and Esau is so hungry that he says to Jacob, "Give me some of that to eat." Now, the name Jacob means what? Trickster. Supplanter. Supplanter is a whole lot better word, but we don't know what supplant means. And it means a trickster. And so he says, "Okay, on one condition, would you give me the right of birth? And for a little bowl of beans." Think of how rich Abraham was, how rich Isaac was. You remember how, by any chance, how many servants Abraham had? 318. Are you aware that the Bible says in 1 year, see, Isaac got almost all of the possessions of Abraham. In 1 year, God doubled the richness of Isaac. I mean, in fact, if you double the number of servants, think of how rich he was. Now that, you know, most of that, 2/3 of that belongs to Esau. And for a little bowl of beans, he trades away every bit of that wealth. That's an astounding story that is there in the Bible. A bowl of beans for all of you know, that he had there. That's an astounding story. I don't know if you've read it. Folks, get down and read your Bible, okay? Just sit down and read these Bibles. How long has it been since you read that story in the Bible? I have loved unbelievably. And David and I both remarked about how great this has been for us just to get back and read these stories. I mean, how many times have I heard the story of Jacob and Esau? You need to read it again. And you need to be in there reading it. And because there's a richness that is there that will absolutely amaze you. And so he sold his possession. Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, the writer there uses a word to describe Esau. And it's Hebrews chapter 12. I don't know where it is, down the left-hand column, about almost to the bottom of the page there. But that's probably not going to help you if you're looking for it. But he says, don't be guilty of, do you know the word there? If I tell you it starts with a P, will that help? If I tell you it starts with the first syllable being pro, P-R-O, he was pro, not procrastinator, pro, not professional. Who said it back there? Profane. F-A-N-E. You know what profanity is? It's a failure to regard that which is sacred. Profanity. Now when we talk about profanity, we're talking about words. The Bible looks at this incident we just described where he sold the birthright for a bowl of beans. That's profanity. And folks, we need to understand that there is that which is sacred. And I hope there's not a young person in this church that ever says, "Oh my God." That's profanity. Don't you dare do that. His name is too holy and too sacred. And we need to cringe at the disrespect there is for God in all of these times and what's happening in our society. But it's not just His name. What about this table? How sacred is this table? What if I eat that bread and drink that cup not discerning the Lord's body? Is that profanity? I'm eating and drinking damnation to myself. Folks, you don't mess around with this matter of that which is spiritual. And Esau's an illustration of that. Now then, there's that other incident. There's that other incident when, in the book of Genesis, Isaac is pretty old now, rather old, and so he calls in his two boys, Jacob and Esau, and he's ready to give the blessing. Now, the blessing is different from the birthright. The patriarchs, before they died, could pronounce a blessing upon their children, and whatever they pronounced, God brought it about. If we have time sometime, read Genesis 49 and 50 and read about when Jacob blessed his sons and all of the things that's in there, and what happened to every one of those tribes is remarkable to look at that. But this blessing is important. And so Isaac is an old man and he's ready to bless Jacob, or bless Esau. He calls Esau in and says, go out and do what? Find this food, and the Bible uses the word venison in relationship to it, at least the King James and the New King James, and prepare this food for me. And Esau, because he's a woodsman, goes out, and while he is out there looking for that deer, if that venison is the exact proper translation, while he's out there, Rebekah says to Jacob, go and find a goat. Now, I don't know if you've eaten goat and venison or not, but the goat I've eaten has not been all that good. It's been very goatish. But anyway, Rebekah knew how to make that goat taste like venison. And so she prepares this meal, and Jacob goes in there. Now, what other provisions have they made so that Isaac will be fooled? Put that goat skin. Where did he put the goat skin?
On his arms.
On what?
On his hands.
On his hands? Are you sure?
That's what it says.
Well, if that's what it says, then you're sure then, right? Folks, you got to think about this. You read through there, you're not going to get it. I've seen some hairy folks, but I've never seen anybody with hair like goat's hair on their hands. But that's where they put it. On his neck and on it. And there, what else? What else did they do so they could fool him? Puts clothing on him for the smell. The guy's eyes may be bad, but he's got a good nose, you know. And so so he goes in, and he doesn't think it's that Jacob is there. You know what Jacob does? Lying Jacob. Jacob walks in there and says, God was so good to me and he loves you so much he helped me find this deer. That's Dan's paraphrase. But God was good, and God helped me find this for you. And so he places a blessing. The blessing he had intended for Esau is given to Jacob. It's interesting to read that chapter and put yourself in Jacob's place and think about the impact his mother had on him. Put yourself in Isaac's place and wonder how it impacted their marriage the rest of their life as they found out about this. Interesting thing is how it impacted Esau. I'm going to kill him. Now, I felt that way about my brothers and sisters. We won't get into that. I probably was the one at fault, but you understand what I'm talking about. And so he has to flee. And he leaves and goes all the way over to where Rebekah has come from. Rebekah's got a brother over there. And she sends Jacob to my brother's house and go back over there and find you a wife. Now, we've got hard questions. We've got hard questions for those of you who like to study the Bible. I stumped you once before on how many years it was from the flood until the birth of Isaac. This almost stumped you, okay, with a little bit of help. Here's one you can work on. Now, if this is really for those who really want to get deep and study in it. I'd rather work on the cards by a long way as work on this. How old was Esau when he fooled his brother? That's the question. How old was Esau when he fooled his brother? Okay?
Huh?
Hmm? How old was Esau when he was fooled by his brother? Okay? Jackie, I just said that, see if you was listening, okay? I'm glad you caught it, though. It really saved me of an embarrassing, because that'd been a hard question to find the answer to. How old were these boys when this happened? That's your question. If you want to get in there and delve around and try to figure it out, you're going to have an interesting journey trying to figure that out. Justin, you're not going to read one verse and say, well, there it is. You've got to read a lot of verses, okay? That's my challenge to you to try to figure that out. Now then, he goes over and he finds a wife. And you know the story about him marrying beautiful Rachel. I've been reading this week and reading that story, thinking about what Jacob felt while he's going over there. I got to go find me a wife. And he gets over there to where they're watering the sheep. And he asks the people over there, you know how many miles he's traveled? Hundreds and hundreds of miles to get over to where Laban, where Rebekah's brother is. And to paraphrase, he says, does anybody around here know Laban? Does he live around here? He's traveled several hundred miles, and I'm sure he had a road map, you know, and had a GPS system on his camel so he could get over there and find out exactly. But he says, Laban lives in this, is he here? You know what those guys said at the well? There's his daughter. Here's his daughter. Now, he doesn't know how many daughters Laban has. He doesn't know how many daughters Laban has, but he's over there looking for a relative of Laban. He's over there looking for a wife. What does she look like? How does the Bible describe what Rachel looked like? She was beautiful. She was beautiful. So he looks up, and there it is. Now, you can call that love at first sight. You can do anything. You can call that anything that you want to in relationship to that. But he saw her. And so he begins to explain all the things that's transpired, goes and meets his future father-in-law, and they make an arrangement. And that is, if I'll give you my daughter, provided you do what?
Work 7 years.
Is that about what you work for your wife? Is that, how many years you've been married? More than seven? Some of you know how many years you may work for your wife. But anyway, he's got to work 7 years to get this woman. Does he get her?
Nope.
There's one little problem, and that is Rachel's big sister, Leah. She's the firstborn. And over in that land, at least that's what Laban said, you got to marry the older child off before you marry the younger one off. So he marries Leah. When does he find out about it? The next morning. If you want the Bible to come alive, put yourself in the place of everybody inside this marriage. I mean, you become Laban and play this thing through, and you become Rachel and play this thing through, and poor Leah. You know, you put her in that, and you play this scenario through. It's an amazing story that's there.
Trickster.
What goes around comes around. Is that Pittman chapter 2, verse 2? Paul says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so he's got a wife, doesn't know what to do with her. And so he says to Laban, and he said, oh, don't you understand that? Fulfill her week. I don't know if that's some festival that's involved, some ritual that's a part of that culture that's there. I have no idea. Fulfill her week, whatever that means. And then I'll give you Rachel. For the longest time, I thought that he worked 7 years and got the first wife and then had to work seven more to get the second wife. That's not the case. There, you know. Now, instead of having a wife after 7 years, and 7 years in 1 week, he's got two of them. And so now then, he works a bit longer over there after he works, by the way, seven more years to pay for Rachel. And then after that, he works for his wages. Anybody remember how long he works to get his wages? 6 more years. And so now then, he heads back home. Heads back home. And there's a reconciliation between Jacob and Esau. It's I don't want to go into the details of that because that's not a part of what's on this card. I tell you these things to whet your appetite, get you to get over there and read it. I mean, really, you ought to sit down and read that. Why don't you become Esau whenever you hear, here comes Jacob? And if you really want to get interesting, become Jacob. The last thing his mama told him was, you better get out of here, your brother's going to kill you. In fact, Esau had said, I'm not going to kill him while my dad's alive. But when my dad is dead, I'm going to kill him. So he heads back home. It's interesting as he gets over there. He divides the people up, and he puts his favorite wife and his favorite children, Rachel and her son, puts them in the back so that if Esau comes with his troop, but Esau's not that way at all. And that's the story about Jacob. But there's an interesting thing that happens to Jacob. That is when he wrestles that night with an angel. Here's you another problem. Those of you who want to go deep into the scriptures, prove that he wrestled with an angel. Find the verse that says he wrestled with an angel. I know that's what you've been told. I want you to get in there and just see that he wrestled with an angel. Now, that's just for those of you who are good Bible students, okay? And I just throw those out because some people say, oh, these are so easy. And I don't know who's saying that. Maybe some are saying it and that type of thing. David, we have the priest cards here tonight. We have the next level of cards. What's our plans on that? Is that tonight or is it what? Yeah, let's go ahead and pass them out. If you want to, the next level of cards on this. Now, let me tell you what this means. This means, don't you start trying to learn the priest card. You learn the prophet card and get these. Here are the 78 starting facts. And as we've divided this up, the whole concept is not to just arbitrarily just throw some questions together and that type of thing. This covers the books of Genesis and Exodus. But if you want to go to the next level and memorize another 60 Bible questions and memorize another five or six chapters and another 10 memory verses, that's what the priest card is all about. What we want you to do is to have this in your field manual. You know, you've got these field manuals, and inside that you've got your name tag, and you've got all of these other things. And so just add this priest card into this, and very soon we'll be passing out the third card, and that is the king card on this. And all that is just going through it again. All the priest card does, if you'll look at it, all the priest card does is just go through the book of Genesis again, throws in some more facts. And it's very likely that you will already, if you're a reasonable, good Bible student, you will already know most of the questions on that priest card. But here's our theory behind this. We could have put 200 questions and passed out 200 questions. How many people do you think would have finished the course? Three. And so the whole design is to make us Bible students. And don't you think any less of yourself if you just get the prophet card. I'm serious about that. But I would strongly urge you to get the prophet card. These memory verses and these key locations and things that are in this prophet card, they're important things. And so I would encourage you. Now, If you've been in the church a while and you've been in Bible class and Sunday school and you already knew those 60 questions on that prophet card, then go ahead and really start working on that. And we'll be having the priest test. I don't guess it's ready to go on the website, but we'll be putting that up soon. We'll be putting those questions up soon so you can go ahead and work on that. But I want to say something of commendation. Did you see how many people have already finished books of Genesis and Exodus on the prophet card? Did you see that this morning? And we haven't even studied the book of Exodus. We have not even studied the book of Exodus, but they've already gone to the website and filled in the question. And I want to commend all 34 of you who've done that. That's an amazing thing to do. And keep at it, folks. We're trying to study the Bible. That's really, really important. Okay, let's have some contest, okay? Let's have some contest. Men against the women. How's that? Men against the women, all right? Who's going to keep score? Joe, do you hear well enough to keep score? Okay. All right. I'll keep score, okay? I'm a man, okay? Questions for all the way through the book of Genesis. We got Jacob's wives here, number of Jacob's sons. And what Jacob gave his favorite son, what did he give? What Joseph get? Coat of many colors. David, Mike needs something up here. Coat of many colors, okay? And so that's the questions we got on the book of Genesis. We're ready to start in the book of Exodus, so we're trying, we don't want to get bogged down here. But let's have a contest. Men against the women. So speak out and shout out your answers and everything. All right. What did God make on the fourth day? Couldn't hear it. I'm sorry. Have to ask that question again. There's a lot of echo over here, but it's both male and female over here. So women, if you got a voice like this, why don't you talk up here like this, okay? All right, okay, you ready? What God make on the sixth day? Oh, I heard this over here. School teacher did that. All right, animals and man, all right. Here's one for you. What was Adam made from?
Yes.
Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Two for the ladies, none for the guys. All right, you ready? Oldest man of the Bible. The man who walked with God. How long? 969, okay. How long was the ark? I caught you on that one, okay. How many generations from Adam to...
Ten.
How many generations from the flood to Abraham?
Ten.
I heard a little tiny voice over here say ten. Was that... It was you? Good. All right. Way to go. All right. That is great. Okay. One for the guys. Okay. You ready? Jacob's two wives.
Leah and
Rachel. See, it's not fair when these women have been teaching Sunday school. That is not fair, you know. I mean, I look back here and here's Lonnie and she's just doing so well. And I thought, is she really that? And then I thought, no, she's not that smart. She just does a lot in Sunday school up and down these highways. And you may be that smart. But Dan, you haven't gotten any points yet. You're just being kind, all right? You're whispering the answers to her. Is that it? Okay, 3-1. What did God make on the second day? Did I?
The firmament.
Was that you?
I guess.
That was you.
Huh?
You thought it was Jackie? Huh? You think Jackie said it?
You think Jackie's got a voice like this, okay?
We'll give the ladies one and the guys one. Four to two. Come on, guys. Very good. Very good. All right. 4-3. Okay. 4-3. That was so great, Jerry. I'm way to go. All right. A rib. What'd God make Adam out of? Joe, you're the first one I heard on that. Okay. All right. Still 4-3. All right, guys. Come on. Don't let me down. Are you ready? Who walked with God?
Yeah.
5-3. All right. One more contest.
My ears need cleaning.
Okay. Those under 35 and those over 35. Huh? I'm going to be the judge about how old I think you are, okay? All right? This is going to be fun, all right? Under 35, over 35. Ready? Young people over here, old folks over here. By the way, you know if you're 35, that's middle age? Did you know that? What does the Bible say your life expectancy is? Huh? 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70. 70 midway to 70.
35.
That's middle age, okay? 35 and above. Over here. Young people over here. Are you ready? This is hard. Abraham's wife. Kelly, was that you that gave that answer? That way to go. That is really, really great. Okay. Tommy? Beg your pardon? That's right. Oh, that's right. Okay. Isaac's wife. It's these young high school minds, okay? And I'm sitting here thinking, is Nicole over 35 or under 35? And if she gave the answer, and so you saved me a lot of embarrassment, Nicole, when you pointed to your daughter. Okay. All right, here's one for you. Jacob's first wife.
Leah.
That was you? You're over 35?
She's over there.
Huh? What? Young people are over here.
Yeah, so she
Who? I thought it was you, Jackie, that gave the answer. Okay. Just trying to make points, my daughter-in-law. Okay, I'm just trying to make points. Okay, Jacob's second wife. I thought I heard an older person say Rachel. Okay. Here's one for you. How long did it rain?
40 nights.
How long was Noah in the ark? A year and 10 days. Look at this gentleman right here. A year and 10 days with a lot of gray on his hair. A year and 10 days. Could have been a year and 17 days. It depends on when you're reading carefully, was he in there 7 days before it started raining? So at least a year and 10 days, and I think that's what we've got on the card, a year and 10 days. All right, here's one for you. What did Jacob give to Joseph? And that was from back over here. Huh? And that is an older, that's somebody above 35. Okay, young people. We count on, young people, we need you to be here. You ready? You ready? All right. What was Eve made from? Why do you say a rib? Because, you know, does a rib come before rib? I don't know. I don't know about that one, okay? What did God make on the fifth day? Who said fish and fowls? That's how I learned it too, you know. Fifth has two F's in it, F and F. So it's fish and fowls. But Jackie, that's the wrong answer. David has made that the wrong answer, okay?
Huh?
It's a synonym. You're taking up for your mom, okay? Okay. Fish and birds is the answer we'll have to give here. All right. One final, how long did Methuselah live? Young people, 969. All right. Here's a hard one. How long did Methuselah live backwards? 969. So if you're dyslexic, we put that question in there for you, okay? That's it. David, anything else we need to talk about? It's been great, guys. Let me tell you, let's be serious Bible students. It's not just fun and games. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and it's these Bible stories that'll sustain you in your life, because you'll find yourself in your life having been tricked by somebody. You better learn how to deal with it. You'll find yourself in the Bible about trying to find a wife. Here's biblical stories about how to find a wife. That doesn't mean go marry your cousin. That's not what I'm talking about. But man, what a great story when Abraham sends his servant over there to pick a wife. How'd you like to be the one who picked the heir of the blessing God gave to Abraham? Threefold promise: make of you a great nation, put you in a great land, send a great Savior. And this aged servant has the responsibility, and he doesn't understand it, but the responsibility of deciding who would be the great, 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 and you fill in the blanks, grandfather of Jesus.